It's absolutely crazy to think how fast time has gone by since moving here to Braga. And yes, it may be a few months less than actually 2 years, but I can't imagine that my mind would change so much in the next 3 months. So I figured I may as well do a little two-year roundup right about now. Because so far after this amount of time being here in Braga, do I enjoy it? Yes. However, there's a lot that I have to say now because a lot has changed, and a lot of the information that you can find online now is just not the same and maybe not quite as relevant as some of the videos that you would have watched maybe 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And a lot of the information you see now online about living in Portugal is very, very, very outdated. I'm Rafael Di Foria. Let's just jump into this episode and roll that intro. Hello there and welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. Like I was saying before, I have been here for a little while now and I have been in contact with some people who have been asking me about moving to Portugal and moving to Braga. Even some people are debating between Porto and Braga, and I hear a lot of the same questions come up over and over again since I've moved here. So I figured I may as well put together another video as a follow-up to partially last week's video where I spoke about working from Portugal, as well as a little bit of a roundup of thoughts as time has gone on, where I kind of sit with things now. So one of the biggest changes that's really come about in the past couple of years is that finding an apartment has gotten even more difficult. When I was moving here, it was already difficult to begin with, but now it is just unbelievably difficult. And there's not that many resources online where you can really reliably look. I mean, you have a website called Idealista, where you can find listings. Allegedly, there are some scams that do pop up on that website from time to time, but that's something that you just have to keep in mind. And it's really important to know what to look for, what you're looking for, and how you're looking for, because a lot of the information could look good to somebody from another country. But if you're maybe from here in Portugal, maybe you know what you're seeing isn't all 100%. And I've gotten plenty of emails from people saying that they've tried sending emails on Idealista, and they've tried getting in contact with agents, and there are all these crazy things popping up, like agents who say that if you want to work with them, you have to pay X amount of fee for them to start looking. I was like, okay, I can get, like, if you're looking for an agent who's going to go on the hunt for you, that's one thing, but I wouldn't even bother with that because they may or may not do the work, and you don't want to sign a paper that you're saying that you're locked in with that agent for X amount of time until you find your apartment, and they have to be the one to represent you, because that can get you into a whole lot of crap, because maybe you're going to find an apartment or a home for rent that is going to be the greatest place to live in, but the other agency, if it's represented by an agency, might not want to work with another agent, so that could end up introducing some more problems. Not all agencies will work with each other, but there are some that do. But then the other thing is that I would say is really important to do, that I personally saw and have seen with others that the most success with, is actually calling on the phone. A lot of these advertisements will have a phone number and you will be able to call. But of course, a lot of the landlords may not speak English. And so what happens if you don't speak Portuguese? Then in that situation, you do want to have an agent there who can act on your behalf. But is your agent going to be there doing all the groundwork? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, I had an agent that I worked with, but I was looking more for him to make sure that all of the legal paperwork was okay because of the agency he worked with. They had lawyers there. And so it ended up working out well. But in the end, I was the one that actually did kind of the research to find the place, and I let him take care of the negotiation. It was definitely a tag team sort of effort. I'm not going to say that's going to happen to everybody and you're going to have to do that all the time, but there will be a lot of hunting and searching necessary. And so what I would say is, if you can have somebody on your side that can help make those phone calls for you, if you don't already speak Portuguese, that can be very helpful. Of course, then you have to start thinking about, is your Portuguese speaker a European Portuguese speaker or a Brazilian Portuguese speaker? I hate to say it, especially as somebody who does happen to be half Brazilian, but there are times when it seems as though there is a little bit of prejudice that comes in the direction of a Brazilian here. So I will often say that it's not a problem, but it can be something that you can run into. So if you can find somebody who does speak European Portuguese with a European Portuguese accent, regardless from where they're from. There are some people that are Brazilian who do help others here. And I will say, even I know someone who does help individuals, and I've so far only heard good things about their services. But what I will say is that when you're calling for something like that, it could be worthwhile to see if you can find someone who can help you who does speak European Portuguese. And I feel horrible that I'm even saying that, but something in the time that I've been here that I've seen is, unfortunately, there can be certain feelings and certain ideas that people have about people from Brazil. While Braga might be called Brazil, that have the largest population of Brazilians in the nation, there are still people here who do have quite negative opinions about Brazilians, unfortunately. But getting back to apartments and everything, I will say that this is one thing right now that is much harder to find. The prices have gone up ridiculously, and the very cheap, cost-effective location that is often touted in online media is not the same place that once was that low-cost price. I would say if you're looking at Portugal nowadays, that the information, if you see someone saying, oh my gosh, it's so amazing, it's so cheap, either they're living in a partial fantasy or they're not telling the full story, or they don't know the full story. A lot of people don't. But I will say that there are many things that are here that are lower cost, but I'm not going to say that everything, the overall lifestyle, is cheap at all. Of course, the cost of living in any city, no matter what country you're in, if you're in one of the larger cities of the country, it'll end up being a lot more expensive than a lot of other parts of the nation when you're getting out maybe to the countryside. And you can get outside of the city in Braga a bit and still have something that's a bit better priced. But how far do you really want to be away outside of a city? I know for me, there are certain areas in Europe where that wouldn't be of interest to me. But can I say that, like, for example, if I were looking at Porto, I wouldn't want to live in the center there. It's just way too overcrowded and way too over-touristy to really think of it as a place that would be enjoyable to live in, at least for me personally. I think there might be people who are into that. And maybe once you get a little bit off of some of the main central areas, yeah, there's probably some places that are close by that are still fun. But I just can't imagine wanting to live in a place like that. Braga can be a really wonderful place. I mean, there are certain aspects about the city that are really fantastic, like how safe it is. That's one of the biggest things that I will never truly get over. I will say that I have been hearing stories about things maybe changing a little bit recently. Even actually very recently, I spoke with someone who saw a fight outside of a local supermarket here. And then a couple days later, right in the center of the city, I saw one guy, like, I don't know if he tried to steal something or what, but he was getting chased by two other guys that were ready to pound him down. Of course, living in any city, you're going to have situations that pop up, but I feel as though I've been hearing more of these little instances recently than I was years ago. Because again, like I said, even though I have only been here a couple of years, Portugal has been a place that's always been on my radar in one way or another. And it's even a place that I'd had in the back of my mind, maybe, okay, maybe I'd want to retire here in the future at some point, maybe not seriously totally thinking about it, but it's a place that I've always looked at and always been curious about, especially having some ancestry from this country that I was curious, and especially living in Italy, another country where I have some ancestry from, a good portion of ancestry, that I was very curious to see, okay, well, why not explore more of my roots and get to another place? There's a couple other places that I'd be curious to explore. But for me, these are kind of like the two real big ones. But even bringing it back to safety for a second, Braga and Porto, relatively speaking, are safe places, but I might call Braga much safer. And then also between Braga and Porto, neither city is huge, but you can always find something to do in Braga, but there's going to be a lot more to do in Porto. And especially for people who are a little bit on the younger side. And it depends on what you're wanting to do, because maybe you're wanting to just get out and get away from the city and just be in nature. You could find a nice little town outside of Braga, probably for a great price. I mean, you'd need a car, of course, but road fees are not necessarily the cheapest here, but worthwhile for some people depending on the lifestyle that they're thinking about. But again, comparing Braga and Porto, they're both a bit on the touristy side, but Braga is definitely less touristy. And neither city are going to be dirt cheap, but Braga might be a little bit lower cost than Porto. Both cities are going to be great when it comes to access to the airport, but of course, Porto will have better access, and housing in either city is going to be probably difficult to come by, and especially in Braga, where you have the university here and you have so many people looking for low-cost accommodations, that those go up very quickly, even rooms to rent in a shared apartment. And for those of you who may be concerned or have this thought, because I know quite a few students from other countries have had this thought that I've spoken with, that they are mixed apartments, that it to find maybe an all-men's or an all-women's apartment isn't necessarily the norm. You can find it, but from what I've heard, a large portion of apartments that are shared are mixed apartments. But of course, around the whole country, you're finding the housing is just difficult to come by if you're renting. If you're buying, maybe it's a little bit of a different situation, but the prices are, in my opinion, much higher than they should be. And that would be across the board, regardless of whether you're renting or buying. As I've said in plenty of episodes of Not Your Average Globetrotter, the Portuguese are much more welcoming than many people I've seen in many countries across the world, that they're so much more helpful to people coming from another place that are looking to make a life here that I just haven't seen in other places. So even though sometimes you do see certain things that maybe aren't the greatest, they get completely outweighed by the things that are truly wonderful about what is offered here and the people here and how amazingly wonderful that they can be. But I think we also have to look at the reality of the situation here, that Portugal, along with the rest of the world, has been seeing inflation and price costs just skyrocketing. So some of the prices that you might have seen in Lisbon this year might not look too different than even some other cities like Amsterdam, Berlin, New York, even. Yes, I've seen prices in Lisbon with my own eyes that start approaching New York rates. So the cheap little wonderland that so many people are looking for might not necessarily be the country that they might be looking at now. But then on top, my personal opinion here from what I've seen is that it looks like, I'm not saying this is definitive in any way, but it looks as though to me that beyond just the current global situation that we're seeing across the board, but because there's been this huge interest in Portugal, that we are also on top seeing the prices get a little bit extra because of that, because of so many people from so many different places wanting to come here. And in a country that is so small, even a small number of people moving here is going to make a very, very big difference and will make a change in the system here. And so when you're seeing that the minimum wage, as I mentioned last week, is going to be raised in 2026 up to 900 euros, where it's currently like 700, 800 right now, I mean, we're talking about rents going anywhere from, say, 700, 800, 1400, 2000 in some of the more expensive locations. For a person who's earning kind of the average wage, 12 to 1500, a single income is not necessarily enough for that. I mean, again, this is not unique to Portugal, but you do have to take a very, very realistic look at the situation here, because more and more, I feel as though that I'm seeing on Facebook and different expat groups, people complaining about, oh, well, we thought it was going to be super cheap and super this and that and the other. It's a wonderful country, but maybe it's not quite what we read about on the internet. And that, again, is something in Not Your Average Globetrotter that I will be very happy to talk about the most wonderful aspects of a place, but it is very important to remain grounded in reality. That's why I make episodes like these talking about that, to keep a bit of balance here and maybe even lean a little bit more into the reality side, because you can't enjoy the wonderful things if you don't know what they come along with. Of course, in this world that we're living in, every part of the planet is going to have the things that you have to deal with. It's just, what are the things that you're willing to deal with at the end of the day? And so maybe there are going to be things here that are absolutely fine for you, and even the downsides will be things that you can deal with, but you have to look at them with a level head. And there are many people who just simply don't do that. And that's also another factor, is that I feel as though I'm very lucky, is that I came into this not attached that this has to be something or that it's this. It's just, I came here for a specific reason, and I'm here because of that reason. And I'm not planning to change anything in my life because of that reason, because of family and being here for family. Even though I do really like it here, I will not say it's perfect. And I think there are a lot of people that I do know here that would agree with that. There's going to be no place that's perfect. Do most of the people that I know enjoy living here? Yes, definitely. Have I seen people who've come here, maybe had not such a great time and left? Yes, but those are definitely within the minority of individuals that I've seen that have experienced Braga. But also at the end of the day, you have to understand what it is that you're needing and what you're looking for, because maybe there's going to be another country in another part of the world or another part of the European Union that will be better suited to your needs. And please don't misunderstand this video in any way, shape, or form. I will say Portugal is an absolutely wonderful place, and I do really enjoy living here, and I feel grateful to be able to experience this country. It's just, these are some thoughts that I think are important to share for those who might be thinking about moving to Portugal after my being here for almost 2 years now, not quite, still a few months off. So if the title of this video ends up being 2 years in Portugal, whatever it is, that's why. It's just because it's close enough now that I do feel very confident enough that my views won't change within these next few months before it actually hits that finalized 2 year mark. But anyway, I think this is where I'm going to round things off for this week. So thank you so much for coming to join me for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. And an even bigger thank you to those of you who helped to make these episodes possible through the monthly support on Patreon or the thanks button here on YouTube or the one-time support also through rafaeldifuria.com/support. Of course, I'm Rafael Di Foria. Stay safe and healthy out there, and I will see you all next time for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. Later.